Hubhopper Originals.
To start your podcast for free, log on to studio.hubhopper.com.
You know, Lokesh, the only common thing between you and me that I've realized up till now is that we both have worked with Tapsee Pannu. Like, for season one, I interviewed Tapsee, and I think even you helped her out with the tattoo thing.
Oh, yeah. She was in college. In fact, she was straight out of school when she came to me. I had a small studio in Vasant Vihar in New Delhi. And there I used to, you know, she and her sister, both of
Wonderful.
Them used to come. And
that's lovely.
So it's long 15 years ago, maybe.
15 Tapsee, years ago.
Yeah,
right.
When Tapsee was in school or college. Yeah.
Right. So you never know who becomes a star and then gets the recognition.
yeah, exactly.
True. Hello and welcome to How's It Josh podcast show, your unbounded dose of Josh with association with Panout Media. So all the while I've been talking about Panout Media and many people have been messaging me, Aryan, what is this Panout Media? So let's take a while to know more about Panout Media. So Panout Media caters to all sort of digital projects, right from creating static graphics to making substantial videos. It's founded by Saurabh Chaubey and Bhavesh Safikar. These two young men with cheerful team are all set to grow and expand your digital territory. You can check them out at Instagram at panout_media. They have offers for every pocket. Do DM them to know more. All right, let's get back to the business. Now, let me tell you something. All the wonderful, beautiful audience out there. I feel that the person that we will be hearing out today conveys the emotion through art. Okay, so let's get to know more about Lokesh Varna beneath the surface, who ranks the list of top 10 tattoo artists in the world. So today we have the global celebrity on the show. And Lokesh, I'm really overwhelmed to sort of have a conversation with you. So Lokesh Varma, welcome to How's It Josh Season 2.
Thanks a lot for the great introduction. Although I don't consider myself the best or anything. In art, I think nobody is the best. You know, everyone is trying to do their best. And you keep on learning and growing every day. And there are so many good artists. So this is just Google algorithm. I don't know how it works. And I got lucky, I think.
But really, I'm going to come down later in the conversation about how you feel being into the top 10 tattoo artist list in the world. But before that, there's this small thing in my mind that I always wanted to talk to a tattoo artist that, you know, I'm a Piscean and I'm a very fickle-minded person. So today, if I believe in one particular quote or I believe in one particular notion, not necessarily that I might stick to it 2 years down the lane or maybe like 6 months down the lane. So if I get it inscribed, I'm very scared that what will happen if I just got changed, my mindset is changed and I'm no more stuck to that particular tattoo. So what is your take on this?
I think even if you get something done which you don't believe in later on, it will still remind you of that phase when you used to love that thing or believe in that something, whatever emotion you're trying to convey through your tattoo. So tattoo is always, you know, a very nostalgic thing which reminds you of your past and, you know, in which condition, you know, sometimes people are drunk, although we don't do tattoo drunk people, but still, you know, like, you know, you're on a vacation, you get a tattoo just to mark that time stamp on you forever. So I take it that way. And you know, you have so much of skin on your body. And why to let it go waste when you can do some art on it forever?
Yeah. So basically for a tattoo artist, I feel that, you know, the entire body is a canvas.
Yeah.
I would love exactly. So Lokesh, like, give me the real essence of what tattooing is. Like, you know, what kind of art it is? What's the niche?
Tattooing for me is, I think it's one of the most dynamic forms of art that has ever existed. Because once you are marked, you know, it's not like people buy paintings and hang it in their living room. But here, you know, you're getting painted yourself forever and getting, you know, some sort of a statement or a picture or anything on you, which expresses your identity and your personality through that tattoo. So I think one of the most dynamic forms that you can carry, and it's always on your body. You cannot lose it or no one can steal it. And yeah, so I mean, it's a form of self-expression. Back in the day when I started, it used to be a form of rebellion, and only rebels and thugs and sailors and all these kind of outlaw kind of people used to get tattoos done. But now it's more of a form of self-expression and, you know, express your attitude, what you feel about whatever thing you want to tattoo on.
Exactly. And I feel that as the industry and as the generation, I think we all have evolved. Back then, it was like, arey, if you're only in the music or if you're really a cool guy, you would get a tattoo. But now I think people believe more in tattoos, like, you know, as a form of expression.
Yeah.
It's the word that I used, like, you know, emoting through the art. We sort of emote our feelings, what kind of a personality we are through the art forms that we have on the body.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. People used to, you know, symbolize their own cults or whatever ideology they used to believe in the old times. Like, you know, Nazi ideology, they'll have those eagle and SS swastika tattoos, and all these different cults will have their cult symbols, or, you know, groupies and of different bands and fans, they'll have their band logo. So it used to be like very cult related, and, you know, it used to identify you as a person. But now it does not identify you as a member of any cult or any, you know, anything else. In fact, it now identifies you as a person. Like, if someone has a dragon tattoo or a roaring lion tattoo, what does it symbolize? That the person is, you know, aggressive. A person who's very calm and, you know, peaceful or does meditation will not get an aggressive roaring lion or a dragon tattoo. So you can actually come to know about people looking at their tattoos. You really know how to read them.
Right, very true. I think I'll take this moment to ask you, like, how many tattoos do you have on your body?
Oh, I've never counted. And I always tell people, you know, like, in a party, there were people talking about, like, I have got 9 tattoos and my friend has 11. And then a guy came, I have 13. And they asked me, how many tattoos do you have? I was like, you know, counting is for losers. So actually, I've never counted my tattoos. Because if you're actually counting your tattoos, you know, you're not actually losing the actual meaning of it. You're keeping a track of them. That I got 4.
Yeah. So, like, let people explore it whenever it comes to
that. I've got many. I've got 2 full sleeves, so I count both of them as one only. So,
okay.
Although there are so many small tattoos in one sleeve, so.
But exactly.
That's one piece.
I think very true. Yeah. And exactly, I mean, you have this, as you told me, like, you know, the entire 2 sleeves are filled with tattoos. So it would be really difficult for you to express me the meaning of each and every one. But what is the main ideology? What was your thought process while getting a tattoo?
For me, most of my tattoos are not meaningful. Most of my tattoos are aesthetically, you know, pleasing. And I get tattoos when I like some artwork. I want it. Either I want to buy, I buy also a lot of original artwork from painters and other people. And also, if I like some artwork, I like it well, you know, too much, then I get it tattooed on my body. Except for my son's portrait and my wife's portrait, everything else is just aesthetically, you know, placed on the body. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a guy who will find deep meanings behind the tattoo. I wanted it, so I got it. That's the meaning behind my tattoo.
Wow, that's really beautiful. Yeah. You know,
I don't think everything should have a philosophy behind it. So
cool, yeah. Very true.
People try to make it sound very philosophical and nostalgic and all this, but I don't think every tattoo should have that kind of meaning. If you like some artwork, and if you really like that kind of thing which is drawn on a paper, you want it on your body, just get it done.
Just get it. Like, you know, don't overthink.
Yeah, don't overthink. That's the mantra of my life. Don't overthink.
Love it. I think I'm going to really take this. It's a big takeaway. And
we have lived half our life. I'm 37. If average life expectancy is 70 or 80, half of our lives are gone. Even if you overthink, you cannot, you know, do anything more than, you know, 80 years. So what's the point in overthinking? If you can just, you know, do whatever you can, another 30, 40 years you have to live. So, you know, do whatever you want without hurting anyone and, you know, without being answerable to anyone, and live your life to the fullest. Do whatever you can, and, you know, whatever your means are. And, I mean, yeah, I live like that.
Very true, very true. And this is one beautiful thing that you said. If I like it, I just put it on my body, so it's there with me. So people are like, I'll put it in the tesori and then treasure and anything. Yeah. So people have their assets in the treasure. They have to go to the bank or they have to go to the cupboard and get it. I mean, for you, it's all the assets are on your body.
Exactly.
Lovely, lovely, man. And with the same, on the same note, like, you know, there's another question in my head. Like, you have done tattoos to so many people around the world, in India as well as around the globe. So I'm very sure that when people come to you, they come with a certain brief. कि नहीं मुझे ये ऐसा वाला चाहिए. देयर आर सम पीपल हु कम विद अ फिलोसॉफिकल ब्रीफ, नो ये दिस इज लाइक दिस एंड दैट्स द रीजन आई वांट दिस पर्टिकुलर लाइन और दिस पर्टिकुलर स्ट्रोक, एंड देयर आर सम पीपल हु आर लाइक कूल एंड दे डोंट ओवरथिंक, दे आर लाइक आई लाइक इट, गेट इट इंस्क्राइब्ड ऑन माय बॉडी. सो ड्यूरिंग दिस होल ट्रांजिशन, दिस अमालगमेशन, लाइक you must have learned bits and pieces more about life, more about the life psychology. So is there something that you would love to share about it? Like, what did you learn about life so far through those art forms and through those customers and their philosophies?
So yeah, emotionally, you know, a lot of people come with a lot of different ideas with their tattoos, and a lot of them have this emotional connection. Like, you know, recently I got a mail that someone lost their baby and 3-year-old baby, and they want a portrait of that baby. So things like that are like, you know, which hit you hard when you tattoo it, and people cry, and I've cried with them also. So being a tattoo artist sometimes is, you know, like being a psychiatrist also. You know, you have to feel, you don't have to, I mean, you try not to, but sometimes, you know, you feel what they're going through and when the story comes out. So I try not to go that way, but sometimes when it's very obvious, then you have to, you know, listen to people's stories and deal with that emotional trauma also.
True. But any one thing common that you have seen from the clients, like this is one thing which I've seen repetitively when it comes to drawing the tattoos and they're coming with the briefs.
No, I didn't get your question. Sorry.
Yeah. It is related to the second question itself. Like, as I told you, when the client is coming with a brief, you know, you get to learn more about their life. You get to learn a bit more about their psychology of life or their thoughts about their life. So any repetitive pattern that you have seen in the people that they constantly come with, you know, this is something maybe related to peace, maybe related a strong agitation towards something or anything as such, a constant repetitive brief for drawing the tattoos.
I mean, we are tattooing in Delhi, which is close to Punjab, and a lot of North Indians come, of course, you know, blue-blooded North Indian warrior clan people, I think. So a lot of them want lions and roaring tigers, and also, you know, of course, you know, what does it signify that the person is aggressive? If someone is into yoga, they'll get those chakras done. So every tattoo, of course, has a different brief, and depending on which person is wearing that tattoo and sporting that tattoo, you can actually, you know, identify what kind of person that is. So yeah, that is it.
True, as you told me earlier. Right, very true. And when I talk about the tattoo industry, it's a very contemporary industry, because the people who are coming to get tattooed, they definitely have a new approach towards their life, or they have some new perspective. They have something which is very in the present moment. So I want to know more about like what tattoo industry it is like, you know, what are the phases that you guys have in with respect and with regards to the art forms.
Sorry, I didn't get your question again.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, the people who draw the tattoos, or like who come to you anywhere like around, they have this brief in their mind, you know, and these guys are coming with a contemporary retrospect, like something which is very, what you can say, in a present moment. Okay. So talking about the tattoo world and the tattoo phase, like, you know, what is the phase currently ongoing? If you want to talk about the tattoo art forms and stuff, what do you like to contribute towards that?
Yeah. So when most of the clients who have no idea what they want to get tattooed on their body, but they know that they want to tattoo, they mostly ask us, "Aajkal kya chal raha hai? What's new nowadays?" And I always tell them,
my question. True.
So I always tell them that tattooing is more of passion, and it's not fashion with an F. It's not that. So jo aajkal chal raha hai, wo parson hi chalega. I always tell my clients. So your tattoo should not be what people are getting around you and, you know, what is in nowadays. There's nothing in, because whatever is in today will be out tomorrow. But your tattoo will be there forever. So a tattoo should resonate, you know, it should mean something to you. It should be connected to your personality, your beliefs, your faith, your family, whatever you know, want to express or show love towards, or, you know, express on your body. So if you have a tattoo expression like that, which is meaningful to you, then it will never be out. It will always be in for you. But if you get a tribal tattoo looking at some WWE, you know, wrestler, and those kind of tattoos are out. That was 90s, early 2000s. But those kind of tattoos are out. So no one gets those tattoos anymore, those thick black tribal lines. So I always tell them that, you know, in tattooing, there's nothing in or fashionable or what is in today. It's something what you personally believe in, and that will always be meaningful to you.
Wonderful. So I think one thing I could definitely conclude from this entire answer, that is, you know, tattooing is next to expressing yourself. It's a form of expression.
Exactly. It's like poetry. If you cannot write poetry, get a tattoo done. You'll be able to express yourself either way.
Lovely, man. Lovely. I think this decoding of tattooing was something that I was looking forward to in this episode. And thankfully and luckily, we are on it and the process is going on.
Yeah, I'm also trying since so many years, but yeah, I've not got all the answers.
Right. And Lokesh, if I ask you, like, what are you in it for? Like, definitely, I know you have a lengthy answer. Either you will have a lengthy answer or either you'll have a one word. So I am very excited to know how you answer this question. What are you in it for?
I am in it for peace of life and peace of mind. I used to work. I have done various jobs before I did, you know, started tattooing. And luckily, I did everything before I was 20. The day I was 17, I started doing odd jobs. You know, like McDonald's and all this part-time jobs.
Yeah.
And also I did my MBA, so I did my internship in some company, which I did not like sitting in front of the computer typing emails. And, you know, this was something, I was always a little bit creative and I could draw a little bit always. So this was something I was ready to do it for free for people because it used to give me pleasure when I used to tattoo people. So of course, in the beginning, I tattooed a lot of people for free because I wanted to do it. When I started earning from this a little bit, and I never had the plan to become a tattoo artist because I did not even know this can be a career. So, you know, I found a way to earn from this because my friend's friend wanted it. And then I have to, of course, charge them when I don't know them personally. And of course, the equipments were very expensive back in 2003. So these 2 years from 2003 and 2005, I did all my, you know, freehand tattooing and all my experiments I had to do and became better every day. And then I started charging people. 2005, I opened my own studio. I did not have money to open my own studio, so I contacted a salon of one of my friend, and we in a small room in that 8 by 8 feet, we started tattooing and started growing from there. So, right. You know, even if I will earn what I was earning 17 years ago from tattooing, I will still do it because I know this gives me more satisfaction and pleasure than doing an office job or something which I don't like and which just gives me money. So I'm in it definitely not for the money. Money is a byproduct of it. When you work hard towards what you like and you become one of the best. I'm not in bragging or boasting, but you know, like when you become better than a lot of other people and of course, you know, when people come to know about you and they compare the work, I always tell people, whoever works the hardest in the room will always win. So if you work hard and, you know, give your best and another person who's just working for 3 or 4 hours and you're giving 12 hours in a day for that, you will anyway become better, be it gym or gymnastics or running or anything or art. So you can do anything that you want. And this was something which gave me like extreme pleasure, and you know, I was in that my own zone when I was tattooing, and this was something very new in India that time, and this was also something very cool, you know. And I mean, a lot of things were there, you know. I used to watch this time MTV 2000s. Mein aata tha, we used to watch these, you know, Travis Barker and all these guys with tattoos, and you know, we grew up in that generation X. Where, you know, tattoos were something very rebellious and very cool. So I wanted to also do it because I was always rebellious. I was a DJ before this. So I did all sorts of odd jobs and all. And I was always rebellious, and I always did not ask my parents what to do. So this was something which attracted me towards it. I wanted to do it. So I started doing it on myself first in the beginning, and then friends and their friends, then the small studio. So it started snowballing from there. And I was always... I was never in it for money. I was always in it for the pure satisfaction of doing it.
Right. So that basically that entire free-flowing nature of you got to know more about your passion, that your passion is to sort of help people express their feelings and their traits.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that. But yeah, the question which you said, it was a very lengthy answer. But what am I in it? I'm in it for satisfaction And you know, it also now it gives me a lot of, I've worked in 17 countries, so it gives me a lot of ways to travel, a lot of opportunities to travel to different places and work there. So now it is everything for me, but initially I was in it just for the pure pleasure and passion and satisfaction.
Very true, very true. And while you were answering this entire question, you sort of made me aware of the fact that you have done all sort of jobs, like right from being into McDonald's to being a DJ person to doing MBA to being in the corporate space. So yeah, that is making this conversation even more interesting. So tell me, like, life is dash for me because dash. So for example, I would say that life is an ice cream for me because initially when we start licking the ice cream, we don't understand. We just find that it's beautiful. But slowly and steadily, when we go through that entire flavors and that crunchy part, and at the end, we have the chocolate and we feel, oh, the ice cream was beautiful, but it's about to end. The same goes with the life, right? At the end, we understand, oh my God, the life was beautiful. I ruined it.
Exactly.
Some people, they ruined it, some people, they enjoyed it.
This was the exact dash that I will feel. Life is a journey for me, and it is beautiful so far. Definitely. Oh. Because you learn from it. Right now, you're not enjoying the moment. But if you, you know, think back about this moment a year after from now, like in 2021, then you will say, wow, good old days, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So people just, you know, either they think about the future and worry too much, or they live in the past. But what we don't realize is this is the moment when we say, you know, the time is now. So I have tried to, you know, incorporate this philosophy into my life, that, you know, I enjoy every moment and live, because, you know, I've got most of the things that I need, and human desires never end. So I try to be as satisfied as I can and enjoy everything with my family and my small 5-year-old son. So yeah, I think being, you know, content and satisfied is into your own hands. No, you know, otherwise, we have got two of the biggest billionaire brothers fighting over property in the country. And then you see one person, you know, doing it, you know, whatever, going in the mountains, doing, making a painting, and he's the most content and satisfied person. So it's all inside your brain and how you see it. Money will never be enough. So I think it's your own, you can only convince yourself and make yourself happy or sad.
Definitely. So all these 37 years of your life, as you told me that, you know, you had your ups and downs, you have climbed the mountains as well as been through the valleys, the deep valleys, I would say. So you're very happy and content with whatever has happened so far.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. I cannot complain. And even if I have something less or more, it will not change me as a person. I always try to help people or whatever I can do best for them. So I mean, this is, everyone has a different journey, but to be content and to be happy is in your own hands.
Very true, very true, very true. And lastly, before we move on to this interesting segment of Hosh Mein Madhosh, so before that, I just want to quickly take a brief about, like, how does it feel to be in the top 10 tattoo artists in the world?
I told you, this is just a Google algorithm and I landed on it. But it feels good if when people say...
Oh, the hard work also locates.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I worked hardest in the room back in that time, back in the day, 15 years ago. I used to work, like, first 5 years of my life, I did not take a single day off. I mean, more than 1800 days, you know, zero off. No Saturdays, no Sundays, no Holi, no Diwali, no 26th January or 2nd October. I was working every day. And I was sick for a day. I still remember 104 fever. When I was feeling better, I reached the doctor, then I had 104. And before that, I was in the studio for half a day. So I always tell them that when it was time to work hard, I worked the hardest. And every morning from 11, 12 o'clock till 2 o'clock in the night, at least 10 or 11 every night, I used to be in the studio. And, you know, 3-4 times a week, 2 o'clock also. Because I used to do, like, so much work alone. And
true.
Because that did not feel like work, actually. So if you can make your whatever you like the most in your life as your profession, then nothing like it.
Nothing like it. Very true, man. Very true. I mean, there's complete resonance, 100% resonance. True. So now quickly, let's move towards this beautiful segment that we have introduced with a global celebrity, Lokesh Verma, that is Josh Mein Madhosh. And it's going to be very quirky. You try to be funny as you can, and you have to be very honest.
Yeah, I'm honest. I'm not funny, but yeah, I'll try.
Sure. Okay, so the very first question is that if you could be any animal, what it would be and why?
I think I'll be an elephant.
Oh God, why so?
First of all, I think elephants, they're nice, they're humble, cute, and they're big, intimidating whenever required. And also they're vegetarian, which I am. So, so elephant is like, you know, yeah, take, you know, they are mostly in their own life. They don't mess around with other creatures. And yeah, if someone messes around with them, then you know, they are the biggest guys in the room. So I think I'll be an elephant.
Yeah. Next thing, like, what is one of the things that you would put on your bucket list? I'm sure that many of them must have been ticked off, but is there something that you would currently put on your bucket list?
On my bucket list, I think I've done most of the things. I don't dream to own a Ferrari or something. Mostly these are the things in people's bucket list, or traveling. So I travel, I work in Europe almost 3 months to 6 months a year. So most of the things I've done, I don't think I have anything, or whatever was there, I have already done. So that's satisfied.
Yeah. The next thing is that three tattoo artists in the world that you admire.
Paul Booth, Bob Tyrell, Dimitri Samohin.
Wonderful.
Anyone listening, they should check out their work. Paul Booth, Bob Tyrell, and Dimitri Samohin. Bob Tyrell is one of the guys who does black and gray realism, which inspired me to do a lot of realism. And then I changed it to colored realism. But when I started, it used to be just black and gray shaded portraits. Paul Booth, again, one of the legends. And I had the pleasure to collaborate with him on a piece, on a back piece we did together. And he and Bob were the two guys when we were, you know, starting to learn tattoo. And Dimitri Samohin is one of the masters in the world. He's from Odessa, Ukraine, and one of the best artists in the world. So these three guys.
Definitely. I think we all will take a moment to sort of go and check out their work and understand more about this.
Yes.
Right. Next one is, what is the thing you're most afraid of?
I'm not afraid of, I mean, I don't know. I'm not afraid of anything as such.
Death?
What can I be afraid of? Death? No, man. I've had near death two times experiences. So I'm not afraid of death anymore. Yeah, I'm more afraid of how my family will cope up with it after I'm dead. So, yeah. Or maybe them dying. I'm more afraid of that. Not my own death.
All right. Next thing is that, what is the meanest thing you have ever said to someone?
Meanest thing?
Okay. Yeah, what is the meanest thing you have been really mean to that person? Said something rude to him or something like that? Hurted that person very badly?
I'm not mean to people, but when I was also 20, 25, very young, and, you know, had very less brain, or, you know, had very less patience. Then, as you know, clients used to complain that you're waiting or something. I used to just, you know, ask them to just get out of the studio and be a little rude to them in the beginning days, because you know, I had no patience that time. So if a client is complaining, not ready to listen, shouting, and they are expecting me to act like a customer service executive who will listen to all their abuses, unless, you know, just tell them get out of the studio and don't come back. But now I don't do that anymore. But yeah, I've done that quite a lot of times.
Okay.
Elephant, you know, elephant. That's why I said elephant.
Next thing, like, what is the first thing you noticed about someone when you first meet?
When I first?
Meet them.
No, I'm not a guy who will notice anything about anyone. Like, people notice different things, but no, I don't. I just talk to them. If they're nice, I'm nice to them. If they're annoying and, you know, they're trying to be too cunning or over smart, then I try to not deal with them and give it to another artist, as in the studio I'm talking about. But I try not to deal with people who are over smart. And if you're nice to me, I'm nice to you. That's a very simple ideology.
That's a simple equation.
So I don't notice anything in people. I'm too much busy with my own stuff that, you know, I don't have time to notice people.
I think that's a quality that we all should adapt. Because of this lockdown, everyone is so, so free, no? Sabke Instagram stories have been note down kiye ja rahe. Yaar, yaar, parso tu waha pe gaya tha, wo gaya tha, main ko nahi bulaya.
Nahin, I've seen this trend also, people hating on each other. Like, in this stupid thing came. Also, I'm calling it stupid, couple challenge and all these selfie challenge, saree challenge. Of course, we all find it stupid. But in the end, I think that, you know, people have their own life. Let them live. We should not be the one to judge them. We have no one to judge anyone because we have our own flaws. So get above all these, rise above all these things. I'm trying to. Not if someone wants a couple challenge selfie, theek hai, dalne do unko, kya problem hai? You know, instead of hating on them or making fun of them, just be happy. Let them do whatever they want. They're happy in it. So.
True. Next one is like, if you're not a tattoo artist, what would you be? I think you have been all that, and then you have come to this.
I've been all that, but I always tell my wife, I would be a race car driver or a chef, maybe.
Oh, that's lovely.
I mean, if you ask me, if you want to be a race car driver or a tattoo artist, I would be a race car driver, if you ask me that time. But I was very poor and no idea about how the racing world works. So, I had no opportunities. But if you would have asked me and I had the resources, I would definitely have. I did 250 on the Autobahn every year when I go to Germany. I do 250 kilometers per hour definitely on the Autobahn. Right. That's the only reason I go to Germany. So yeah.
So now, like post-corona, do you have any as such aspirations in mind? Because now you have resources and now you have time also after COVID.
So what?
For the car driving, the race thing that you said.
Now I'm too old for it, man. You have to start young in anything if you want to succeed. You cannot be...
I
think I'm at the retiring age now of race car drivers.
You're 37 now. You still have a long journey plan.
No,
you still have a long journey planned.
I have no journey. You know, this journey is... my destination is actually a journey. So I'm very content and happy in life, and I've reached wherever I had to reach. And again, you know, I always try to become better, but not in terms of financial success or fame and all, because I've achieved most of the things. And as I told you, there's no end to it. So I just try to be a better artist and a better person. And
lovely.
Yeah, I think that's all.
Yeah, and on this very beautiful note, I really want to ask you one thing, or rather than asking you, let's just sort of retrospect. Lastly, a note to yourself. I mean, you have definitely given a very beautiful answer and sort of given that retrospection or sort of that insights about who you are as a Lokesh Sharma. But is there something more that you would like to add on? Lastly, if you want to give a note to yourself, a person who is 20 years ka Lokesh Sharma or maybe a 25 years
Verma.
Ka Lokesh Sharma.
Lokesh Verma.
Verma, right?
Yeah, I heard you said Sharma. Anyway, note to myself will be more patient with yourself and with people, because I'm a person who is not patient at all and who is very restless. So, but I think that has worked for me. So I think I won't give a note to myself. I think my note to myself, 20-year-old myself, will be just, you'll figure it out. Just keep on working hard and don't, you know, like be the hardest working in the room, and you will achieve whatever you want, be it whichever field, you know. If you're putting, you know, more time than other people, you will be better. No two ways about it. So very, yeah, keep working whatever you're doing, keep, you know, following your passion, and yeah, that will be my note to myself.
Lovely, man. That's really lovely. So I think with this we have come to an end of the entire discussion.
I mean, I think I'm not very interesting, because again and again, I keep on saying I'm very content and happy. So it does not give me anything to say after that anymore. So that's why my note to myself was this, like, you know, keep doing whatever you want or whatever you are doing.
Definitely, you know, this is a very first time I would say, or like, you know, this is something unique that I've found in the entire journey of my podcasting. I've been talking to so many people around this. Someone is always like, you know, people are always hustling for something or the other, but finding someone who is so contented and who is so focused.
Also because I'm lazy. That's also one of the other reasons that I'm content.
No, definitely. I mean, that's beautiful to see someone who is contented, to see someone who is grateful for who he is. It's really lovely.
Yeah, I'm very grateful. I don't believe in God. Otherwise, I'm an atheist. But I'm so much atheist that I did not give a last name to my son. So my son does not have a last name like me.
So he's just, it's just initial name is there.
His name is Raya and his last name is Heart, like my and my wife's heart. So that's his name.
Okay, so Raya...
Ryan, Ryan, and Hart. His last name is Hart. So all three of us have different names in our passports when we travel. Then you know we have to carry his birth certificate with us, like he's a child. We are not abducting him.
All right. So this is beautiful, yeah.
So yeah. So sorry, what was I talking about? I forgot. What was the question?
No, I.
Yeah, so I'm lazy. I was telling you that I'm so lazy that I'm content in whatever I have. And yeah, not too much of hustling all the time. I've done that although. Yeah.
It's a good thing. Let us all be lazy and be happy in what we have.
Keep trying. I mean, you should, I think we should only choose one thing that you want to do and give you 100% to it rather than doing 3-4 things. And don't do anything else except apart. I mean, there has to be no, you know, like second option. If you have plan B, then you will always rely on that you will do that. But if you have no other option, then you will give you 110% to one thing only. So I think that's what worked for.
True. Very true. So Lokesh, I'm really thankful that you took time and came on House of Joe season 2, and we got to dissect Lokesh Verma and also understand your ideologies and, like, you know, you have the way you explore the life as a journey. You have been through highs of the mountains and the deepest of the valleys and sort of given us some beautiful insights also about the tattoo industry, that, you know, the synonymous word for tattoo industry would be expressing yourself. It's like an emotion through art. And I'm really grateful that you happen to be on this House of Joe season 2, the global celebrity who has been ranked in the top 10.
Nothing like that, guys. Don't do that again. Anyway. Yeah. So my pleasure, and thank you for inviting me to your great show, House of Josh. And I hope to see you guys in person sometime.
Sure, and, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right. So all the beautiful audience out there, do like, share and subscribe to House of Josh and listen to the entire episode. And definitely there's so much to take away from this. So stay tuned to House of Josh season 2, your unbounded dose of Josh in association with Panout Media. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye, guys.
इस हब हॉपर ओरिजिनल को सुनने के लिए आपका शुक्रिया। अगर आप भी अपना पॉडकास्ट लॉन्च करना चाहते हैं, तो हब हॉपर स्टूडियो वेबसाइट पे रजिस्टर करें और 1 मिनट के अंदर अंदर अपना खुद का पॉडकास्ट लॉन्च करें। यही नहीं, स्टूडियो देता है आपको पूरी आजादी कहीं भी कभी भी अपना पॉडकास्ट लॉन्च करने की, सिर्फ 3 आसान स्टेप्स में। तो साथ में अपना पॉडकास्ट शुरू करने के लिए तैयार, जस्ट हॉप ऑन हब हॉपर, सिंपली कॉन्टेंट।